From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
Well, it would appear the big guy in the sky is doing his best to keep the fish safe from me. Not that I'm any pro at the art of bass fishing or walleye fishing. The pro is the host of this show. Me, I'm just a cheap knockoff with some fancy rods and reels and a tackle box worth more than what's in my bank account. So I had a stroke back in November, which knocked me off my snow machine this season, despite it being one of the longest and snowiest winters in Ottawa's history. But you already knew that. But what can you do? Well, you buck up and you get better the best you can. That's what you do, and it's what I did. As I told you last week, I just had my birthday that officially makes me as old as dirt and maybe a little older. What I didn't tell you, however, was learning the day before that I had prostate cancer, which is a kick in the ass in more ways than one and leaves me facing 7 weeks of daily radiation treatments. So guess I'm going to be spending my summer. The good news is the good folks at the Ottawa Cancer Center don't work on weekends, ergo no radiation treatments on Saturday or Sunday, so there's time for fishing, but no entire week off to go fishing and no double-ended long weekends to head to any of the lakes in the Ottawa Valley that have some good hot spots. Instead, I'll be hunkered down in a hospital with a piece of high-tech cancer-fighting machinery dead aimed at my private bits and firing radiation at them. It's going to be some fun summer. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Biola. He's Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis. On the line with us, our in-house safety expert, Bradley Schlorf. Hey, buddy.
There goes Mark again, setting up a topic. Him and I could commiserate about spending time in cancer wards.
No kidding, eh? The two of you. Holy mackerel. Craziness. Craziness. But you guys are both going to be okay, and you are okay, and everything is good. That's
the
my
world is good. Yes,
the world is good. Speaking of,
I have my 3-month-old grandson at his very first time ever at a cottage, and he's having a hoot. Right now, he's having a bath in a tub, though, so it's not really a cottage festivity.
Whereabouts are you, Brad?
South end of Lake Simcoe. Not really in the wilds of northern Ontario this time.
That's all right. I'm sure you're up on this, but what I want to talk to you about is, I mean, we've talked about this for the last couple of years when it first broke, about the mishap, the unfortunate mishap, where a young 8-year-old boy lost his life in a canoeing accident. And it was surrounded, the whole case was surrounded with a bit of mystery because it was unclear as to the charges that would be laid and what charges would stick. And it was simply because it happened in a canoe, and there was an impaired canoeist or impaired driver, I guess is the way you would have to describe it, involved, and charges were laid, and then it went through the courts, and there was all kinds of confusion, maybe is a good word, as to whether a canoe is legally a vehicle that can fall under our normal regulations for impaired driving. And just this week, they made an announcement that said, yes, it could, yes, it will, and yes, it is. But that's just in lower courts here in Ontario, but it hasn't gone to a Supreme Court yet. What do you think of all that? You and I have talked about it on air as to whether a canoe, I've asked you before, you know, is a dinghy, is a canoe, like what is a vehicle and where can you not be impaired without getting charged?
Well, you know, we have talked about this at great length, and in my former professional background, doing research on this, about the whole issue, you know, when driver's license suspensions were applied to operation of a vessel in Ontario, there's a big kerfuffle about non-powered vessels. Well, non-powered vessels in every piece of navigation-type legislation you can find have always been a vessel. So that this, the Canadian government kind of messed things up a little bit in the 1960s, when hovercraft and things like that first came out, they threw a definition in the criminal code that said includes those vessels. So
right.
Some in the legal community decided that meant it excluded everything else. Well, if you follow that extension, then that would mean Team Prince Craft isn't a vessel.
You know, I mean, it is absurd. Some of the things that they're coming out with now, it is absolutely ridiculous. You know, but somebody's going to have to shed some clarity to this because this was a tragedy, no doubt about it, but it could get even worse if we don't put a definition.
I've been cheering on this case since it happened and, you know, with my former colleagues and things and following it very closely. And so we've got a good ruling right now. And, you know, people come up with all these absurd things like a pool noodle in my backyard pool. That's nuts. So, you know, there's an inherent risk about going out on the water. There's an inherent risk in canoes. There's, you know, it's a good possibility you can fall overboard in a canoe, even when you're fairly adept at it. So and people say, oh, I'm only risking myself. Well, it's all nonsense.
No. For folks who aren't familiar with this case, a gentleman was impaired by both alcohol and marijuana. The accident occurred on the Muskoka River on April 7th, 2017. So it was early in the season. You know, air number one, it was early in the season. Water's freezing cold. You probably shouldn't be there with an eight-year-old kid to start with. But there's where the alcohol and marijuana probably kicked in. It was during a flood stage on that river. So there's air number two. Once again, alcohol and marijuana, I'm sure, had a lot to do with that. The canoe flipped. And the gentleman's name, Thomas Rancourt, or I'm sorry, the kid's name, was swept over a 15-meter waterfall and went to court. And, you know, the original charge was looking like it was going to stay. But then all of a sudden, the attorneys for the defendant come up with all of these reasons why you can't charge him. He was in a canoe. A canoe's not really something we can use as an example of a vehicle that you can't be impaired in. So that's what this is all about. And ridiculous, in my opinion. But, hey, who am I?
So now a good decision has been rendered. And hopefully, a lot of people say, well, let's hope it doesn't go to appeal because it goes to appeal. But that won't give us a solid definition. So if it goes to a higher court, is appealed, one way or another, the court will rule on this and it'll clear it up for everybody.
Brad, where does this put... You know, in the meantime, where does this put police officers, you know, who are out there on the waters? I saw a group of your boys out last night on Lake Scugog. Where does it put people like that now when they know that these things are kind of looming out there?
So my good friend Dave Moffat, the current Marine coordinator, he's quoted in a number of these articles, and he refers to discretion. So all along, police officers have everything. Have the discretion in this province. There's one province where it's not quite like that, but in this province have the discretion for every offense as to whether they lay a charge. And that's where the buck stops, is at that cop. So, you know, he's saying, we need to be careful with this. We don't want to make any bad case law, but by the same token, it's up to that individual officer weighing all the circumstances at the time as to whether somebody needs to get arrested or charged or whatever. And unfortunately, the people want to spin that the other way. That's the way it's always been here.
I guess this is being looked upon as if we take this off the water and put it on our roads and highways, I guess this would be akin to somebody being charged for impaired while riding a bicycle or a moped or something like that, would it?
So young Chris Whaley and I had the discussion about that too, because, you know, he's a passionate cyclist, not like he used to be. But he summed it up just right. Usually, if you fall off your bicycle because you're drunk, you maybe roll over in the ditch, get a poison ivy or something, get back on, stagger your way back to your bicycle, and away you go again. If you fall out of your canoe at 11:38 at night on Lac Seul and Sulu Out, like just happened, and you happen to not have a PFD and you're drunk, there's a really good possibility that you're going to drown.
You're right. I forgot all about that. We just had one this past week, didn't we, on Lac Seul?
So someone alerts the, and it's the OPP in Suavout, alerts the OPP that there's someone in a canoe in the pitch black and no safety equipment or anything. They go and check him. Of course, he's drunk. So that story could have changed. Suppose nobody bothered because it's just so-and-so, the local drunk out in his canoe, hadn't bothered to call the cops. He flips the boat over in the morning and says, there's a canoe floating around out there. I wonder what happened. And they go and find him, and he's likely to be deceased. then it would be, oh, you know, what a tragedy this is. So they've actually probably saved this guy's life.
Wow. Crazy. And what a body of water to be doing that on. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Incredible. Anyways, what's happening in the Schlorf household this weekend, my friend? You're obviously at the cottage looking after the grandkids.
Oh, this is, we've got Jake at 3.5 months old, boat's out in the driveway. I don't think we'll take him fishing. He was eyeballing up my coffee a couple of minutes ago. He's not getting any of that here yet, but he's getting a new tooth. How much better does it get than this?
It doesn't, buddy. All right, my friend, I'll let you go. Thank you, and play it safe.
Talk to you later.
Bradley Schlorf, a retired staff sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police, our in-house safety expert. It's going to be an interesting conundrum as we move forward on this, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because lawyers are lawyers, right? Their job is to do the right thing. It's just to defend. And
yeah.
Anyways, going to get ugly before it gets any better for sure.